Before we close out the mini-series, let me quickly review, right? We said the last few weeks that we grow really in a group. You got to grow in a grace group. And we do that by processing God's word consistently. They gathered for the apostles' doctrine. We got to take in the word of God, and then our body's got to do something with us. The spiritual us needs to process it. And then we grow in a grace group by fostering a family of faith. You don't have a family feel in a room with this many people. If I said there are about 3,500 active members of Grace right now, by the way, there are well over 4,000 members, but I mean those that are still engaged and involved and that the FBI could actually locate. If I said there are about 3,500 of us, you don't know a lot of those. I want to get to know every person, every face, every family, every story, but it's a job and it takes time, and that's why I'm asking you to help us with that. I'll come back to it at the end. But we got to foster this family. We got to pray fervently for one another. Prayer happens best in smaller groups because we know what's really going on in each other's lives. That's why I don't stand up and tell you all that's going on this week. It's information overload. All the people we've called that have lost loved ones, all the sickness, all the struggle, all the marital issues. We don't have time to go over that, but when you're in a smaller setting, you got people that know your story and love you and walk with you. So that's how we grow in a grace group. Then we participate in grace worship by praising God authentically. Praising God authentically, vocally, vibrantly, founded on truth, focused on Christ. We do all of those things that we talked about last week. And as we are not only in here, but as we go out there, we continue worshiping by presenting the gospel boldly. It's that show and tell. Bella, my little Bella, she was over there somewhere. I don't know if Bella's here, but she helped me out with that last week in this service. It's show and it's tell. If I show without telling, then there's not clarity. People don't know why I'm trying to be a good guy. But if I tell without showing, then people say, oh, you're just full of hot air. You don't really love Jesus. You got to show them and you got to tell them. But then how do we do that? Well, today I'm going to talk about serving with the Grace family. Serving with. Thank you, adults. Thank you, leaders, for serving with us by opening your homes, by opening your hearts, by pouring into young people. Thank you for what you've done this weekend. I appreciate that. I appreciate it more than you know. Not only was it good for our students, it was good for our married folks that were empty nesters for a night. It was good, and we appreciate it, and I thank you for your ministry. But we serve with the Grace family. Notice I didn't say in the Grace building or in the Grace, on the Grace campus. This is the church only in the sense if we say things like we're going to church. But us, everybody that loves Jesus, we are the church. And so whether we're gathered together on the campus or whether we're out there, I'm asking you just to serve with your Grace family. Some of you serve lots and lots of areas out there, and that's wonderful. We don't discount that in any way. How do we do that, though? First, look, we serve with the Grace family by connecting with our community of faith. This is a matter of belief and behavior. It says in verse 44 that all who believed were together. Look at the unity. And they had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods. They divided them among all as anyone had need. Now, folks, listen to me. This is not socialism or Marxism or communism. I'm sorry, Bernie. That's not what this is. This isn't rob from the rich and give to the poor. The Bible is very clear. Listen to me. If a man or woman is able to work and they do not do so, the Bible says they shall not eat. Do you follow that? This is not some kind of religious welfare system. This is widows and orphans and those who have genuine need get helped by those who love Jesus. That's what this means. And so is it better to give a hungry man a fish or is it better to get him a rod and reel and teach him how to fish? Which is it? Teach him, right? That's better. And so here at Grace, we have a great responsibility to love people around us in practical ways, but we are better and stronger together. We hold a belief in common that Jesus is the only way to really know and love God. That by trusting in Christ, I have a direct line to God the Father who created me and who created everyone else. And I know that because God created everyone else in His image, I need to take care of them. I need to love God and I need to love others. Again, it's not a socialistic structure. It's simply understanding a commonality. That regardless of race or background or socioeconomic status, we are brothers and sisters. And you go back far enough and we have the same parents. You just have to keep going back a ways. The point is, though, the Bible says they had all things in common. Did you know common is the root word of the word community? and the root word of the word like communication, right now we have something in common, so there's communication. It's called English. Sprechen Sie Deutsch? Ja? Ein bisschen? So who sprechen Deutsch over here? Who speaks German? All right. So I look at my bride and I say, ich liebe dich. What did I just tell her? I love you, right? Portuguese, minha linda esposa. My wife is beautiful. If I were to speak a language, some of y'all are going, he's speaking in tongues. Yep. If I speak a language that you don't know, that we don't have in common, then we're no longer communicating. Unfortunately, churches get these little cliques and these groups that start speaking their own language and doing their own thing, and they forget that Christ is our commonality. As I said a couple of weeks ago, if I'm reconciled to Christ and you're reconciled to Christ, we are reconciled to one another, and we can get along and we can do things together. We don't have to all be the same. The keys on the piano are different. Some are high, some are low, some are white, some are black. Doesn't matter. Played the right way, there is harmony and there is beauty, there is melody there. And the Bible is saying of the early church, these folks loved one another. They helped one another. Not a hand out, but it was a hand up. They were helping people as they had need. Do you realize we have a ministry here at Grace called Frontlines? This Frontlines ministry, there's a number that people can call in. People can go through online. They can call the office. But this particular ministry, Frontlines, helps people where there's a point of need. Particularly for Grace members, there are certain things we do. Now, for non-members, we also help, but we partner with many local ministries to get them the type of help they need. Just recently, in the last few weeks, we've helped with utilities and rent, transportation and food. We helped a family pay a utility bill this many times over. We got bus passes for job hunting, because it's better to help someone get a job than it is just to keep giving them stuff, okay? We help with transportation with a family for an out-of-state emergency. We helped a family displaced by a fire. We helped multiple families with food. We helped families with winter clothing, and so on and so forth. And that goes on every day. I'm going to introduce something brand new to you. And that brand new thing is just a phone number. Because sometimes you're in a situation where maybe you can't get to the app or you can't get to the website. You're rushing a loved one to the hospital. You have a need. You need to call somebody. You need to say, hey, help. I'm going to give you a new number. It went live this weekend. Look at it. It's just for Grace. Prayer and Care Line. It's 865-269-2273. Easier to remember. Any care. Any care. You just look on your phone. It's got the letters. You dial any care. Twice a day, it's a voicemail system that'll be checked at noon and about 5 o'clock. We will check it, and you can say, I have this kind of need, prayer for this, prayer for that, this kind of specific need. It's for members, it's for non-members, it's for anybody in the community. If you are thinking, you know what, I'm struggling with something right now. I'm even considering making a really bad choice. I feel depressed, alone, suicidal, whatever the case may be. Now, if it's an emergency, dial 911. But if it's something where we can get to you later in the day and you can leave us a message, I want you to understand that there are people here that will love you and pray for you and help you in practical ways. There's a whole system we have set up for this, but we just launched this number today. And we have many, many, many volunteers along with our pastors that will help take care of you at your real point of need. So please use this number. And then you can also go through our website. You can also go through our app. You can also call the office when the office hours are open. But this is for any time, 24/7. We serve with the Grace family by connecting with our community of faith. This is just one of many ways. Number two, we serve with the Grace family by practicing the one another principles. One another principles. It's this powerful idea in this text of what real Christian fellowship and help should look like. In the English Bible, most of the time it's rendered one another. Do this for or to one another. In the Greek Bible, it's actually one word, allelon. Allelon is used about 100 times in the New Testament. 94 different verses, and 47 of those times, it is a direct command to any of us that believe in Jesus, to anybody that believes in Jesus, whether you're a member of Grace, an attender, you're just here for the first time. If you believe in Jesus, there are direct commands for you that the Lord wants. Now, I'm going to unpack them real quick, A and following. You ready? Be affectionate and honor one another. That's Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to the other one. So this is this word affectionate is actually a word for brotherly love. It's actually from where we get the word Philadelphia. Phileo or phileo means love, but it's brotherly love, and Delphia is city, city of brotherly love. So you put that together, it's this idea of a brotherly or sisterly kind of connection. Be tenderhearted toward one another. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another and love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. You know what that means. Have a gentle spirit toward one another. That kind of leads us to this next one then. Be kind and compassionate to one another. You study the life of Jesus. Over and over and over, the Bible says he was compassionate. He showed compassion. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. Letter D, teach and admonish one another. Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. Now, we like the teach part. We don't often like the admonish part. Admonish, in its sort of most basic meaning, means to warn or reprimand someone firmly. You know, we will correct our kids because we love them, not because we want to make them miserable. We want them to be better people. My parents corrected me because of that. I would reprimand, let's say, or admonish the dog because I didn't want him to do this and I did want him to do that. The point of any discipline for people, for anything, should be motivated by love. It shouldn't be motivated by fear. It shouldn't be motivated by mastery. It should be motivated by love. And so we correct because we love. And you might know somebody, hey, students, listen to me for a second. You might know somebody that's going down the wrong path. The most loving thing you can do is walk with them and help them and say, that's not the right way to go. Well, it's none of my business. Are you a Christian? Do they claim to be a Christian? It's your business. It's your business to love one another. You're part of the same family. Wouldn't you help a family member that was going the wrong way? You'd say, wait a minute, brother, don't go that way. Wait a minute, sister, stop. And you say that in love. I don't mean you have to be ugly. I don't mean you have to be right up in somebody's face pointing an angry finger. I mean you have to love them enough to warn them, to admonish them. And that kind of goes with E, encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another, build one another up. Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another daily. As long as it's called today, encourage one another so that you may not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So let me tell you what really speaks to me and blesses me. I'll get these little notes and these people will stop me, but a lot of times it's through email or messenger, they'll say encouraging things. And it's funny because anytime my wife sings, last week she had a solo in one of the songs, people come by at the end of the service and they'll stop by and say, oh, Cindy, that was so beautiful, that was wonderful. And they'll just kind of keep walking and I'm going, hello, I'm still here. I was up there too, you know, but that's cool. I'm not bitter. I'm not upset. Y'all get on Facebook and y'all write, you know, I'm preaching my guts out and you write, Cindy, that was beautiful. You're so gorgeous, Cindy, I love your voice. Thanks, I appreciate that. That's good. Encourage her. That's good. That's good. But we all need encouragement, right? I mean, we all need, now I don't mean to be syrupy and sappy, and if something really stunk, don't say it was great, be honest, but we all need encouragement, and you encourage one another. Encourage one another. Don't press each other down, lift each other up. I love F, stir up one another toward love and good works. The NIV renders that even better. Spur one another on. You know what spurs are for? Get moving. If you know somebody that's not engaged, if you know somebody that's merely a spectator in their Christian life, they're not a participator with Jesus, they're not a participator with their church, spur them on in love. Don't be ugly. Do it in love. And of course, this is really important. Accept one another. Romans 15:7. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Now, that doesn't mean accept sin. That doesn't mean anything goes. Man, Jesus, think about it. Jesus, the woman is caught in adultery, right? The man's nowhere around. All these religious folks are about to stone this gal. Jesus comes into the scene. He says, hey, the one of you that's without sin, cast the first stone. We like that part of the story. Well, Jesus knew he's the only one in the place without sin, so Jesus had every right to cast a stone at that gal, but he didn't. He looked at her with compassion in his eyes, and he said, "Now, where are your accusers? Are there none left?" And she said, "No, none, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I condemn you." But he didn't stop there. Remember, what did he say? "Now go and sin no more." Acceptance doesn't say anything goes. Acceptance says, "I can't fix you. You can't even fix you. Only Jesus can fix you. Take his word. Do it his way. I won't condemn. Others won't condemn. But we don't want you to continue to walk in your sin. We want you to walk with Christ. We want you to admonish and love you and encourage you and get you to walk with Jesus. Because the things you do that don't honor him will one day come back to bite you." And of course, this is what we're talking about. Serve one another. Letter H, serve one another in love. Galatians 5:13, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Jesus said he came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life a ransom for many. You will never look more like Christ than when you're serving somebody else, when you're doing something for them, expecting nothing in return. Show hospitality to one another. That just means open your heart, open your hands, open your homes. Welcome people into your space. Welcome people into your life. And 1 Peter 4:9 says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Open your life up to people. Some of you don't want to open your life up because you're afraid of what others might think or see or say. Let me tell you, everybody's got their issues. Everybody's got their problems. Everybody's got their struggles. Everybody's got stuff they're dealing with. Every single person on the planet, because sin has touched everyone and everything. But Jesus is more than able. So open yourself up and be vulnerable. Yes, it means you may get hurt, but it also means you may get real friendship, real connection in the family of God. And of course, you want to do that first with the Lord. Most importantly, love one another. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:22, "Now that you've purified yourself by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for one another, love one another deeply." Love from the heart. And I gave you many examples in your notes for that. This is what a family of faith should look like. One faith, one family, one focus, pleasing the Lord. You know, I am just not pleased when my kids fight among themselves. I'm not a happy daddy when my kids grumble against one another. But when they're getting along, I'm a pretty happy dude. I'm pretty easy to get along with. If people are getting along, how does the Lord feel about his church? I don't just mean Grace Baptist Church, I mean his church. How does he feel? When we get along, I believe the Father is pleased. We're more powerful. We have more in common. What gives you friendships and closeness with people? Isn't it commonality? I mean, are you really best friends with people that have totally different interests than you? Probably not. You probably communicate more and best with people that have similar interests. So let me throw out some categories for myself. I'm a hunters here, fishermen, Harley riders, grandparents. Whoop, whoop. I'm in the category now, right? I have made the club. Grandparents. Now I know why you always want to show grandbaby pictures. It used to drive me nuts. I am so with y'all. They are the best. Grandparents. And I still love my kids. They're all right. But the grandkids. So shared interests. Like me and my boy Scotty right here. Scotty came just a little after I did. I think he was the first hire we made as our technical director up there. And Scotty's keeping us all on point where you can hear us. And then there's a whole team up there so you can see. But Scotty and I have an interest, a love of hunting, a deer hunting. We're leasing some property together this year. We've been hunting together several times. He sees a deal in the stores. He buys something. I might see a deal and buy something. We'll swap around. Been to this house, shot bows together. He's my boy, not just because we work together, but we have a common interest. There are other guys, Ted Francisco. Y'all know Ted? Ted's my boy. Ted over here, he just had surgery, so I don't think he's here today. But Ted's a fisherman, big time, good fisherman. He is Homeland Security. He stands near me, so please don't ever run at me quickly or you're going to meet Ted, okay? If you ever approach me too fast or looking weird, Ted's coming for you. That's good. He's my boy. Ted and I, we talk a lot. Clay, my boy Clay, you went out. New guy here, avid hunter, avid fisherman, tremendously skilled in the outdoors. He's teaching me some stuff. I've gone out with Ross and Bud and other guys I could keep naming, John King. We have no problem talking when we, and there's a lot of y'all, but we have no problem talking because of those common interests. There's no problem, like my boy, the new president of Carson Newman, the college. He's a really good friend of mine. We got to be really good friends, even though I was pastoring in Florida, he was pastoring in Memphis before he became the new prez. We got to be friends because he loves Harleys and I love Harleys, and he's ridden for years and I've ridden for years. Charles and I, Dr. Fowler and I, never have a dull moment. I went down and took him to lunch a few weeks ago, and he's doing a great job at the college, at the university there, and we just have a lot to talk about because we have a shared love. Now listen to me. This should translate in the church. You don't have to like hunting, fishing, Harleys. You don't even have to like grandchildren. I don't know what's wrong with you if you don't, but you don't have to love any of those. You don't have to love Carolina basketball. I'll pray for you. But listen, you need to love Jesus. And if you love Jesus, we have a commonality. We always have something that draws us together. There can be a world of things that are different, but if you love Christ and I love Christ, and if I know he's the head of my life and the head of this church, and you know he's the head of your life and the head of your church, then we have something in common. That's what this text has really been getting at. We have things in common. But sometimes life happens, doesn't it? And even the things we're most passionate about get pushed aside. A couple of years ago in Florida, I really can't tell you what happened. I didn't get my bow out. I didn't practice. I didn't get my feeders and cameras put out. I had land. It was the night before the opening of bow season, and honestly, it was the weirdest thing in the world because normally I'm like a kid Christmas night, you know, Christmas Eve. I'm so excited. I can't sleep. I'm ready to get up the next morning and go bow hunting. I wasn't ready. I wasn't going to go bow hunting opening day. It was the first time in years and years because I let life get in the way and I didn't pour into my passion. I wanted to go, but I wasn't ready to go. I wasn't practiced. I wasn't prepared. And so sometimes I know some of y'all, you really do love Jesus. Most of you really do. Most of you really do know that he is your Lord and Savior and you want to serve him. But sometimes life happens and you get so busy. When I unpack some of these areas of service, you're going to look at that and you're going to say, Pastor, I would love to, but I'm just too busy. Now listen to me. I say what I say in love. If you're too busy to find at least one area of service with your church family, then you are just too blooming busy. You need to cut some things out. You're just too busy. If you can't spare many of these things, an hour a week, 30 minutes, maybe an hour a month, if you can't spare some of that, then your schedule's too full. You're not using your time wisely. Now, I'm sure some of y'all have heard this before, but man, it stuck with me, so I'm going to share it with you. Imagine you have a bank that credits your account every morning with $86,400. I'd take it. But it carries no balance day to day. In fact, every evening it deletes whatever part of the balance you didn't spend that day. What would you do? Well, I don't think I could spend that much money every day, although I probably could for a month or so. But I think what I would do is I'd draw it out every day. I'd draw it every penny. Even if I had to set it aside, I'd draw it out. But you know, each of us has an account every day. The account's name is time. Every morning, God credits you with 86,400 seconds. You don't have to do the math. I did it twice, I promise. 86,400 seconds. That's how many you get. That's how many I get. Everybody gets the same. Some people seem to accomplish a lot with those 86,400 seconds, and some maybe not so much. But the clock is running, and I'm asking every single person in the room, if you're old enough to know Jesus, you're old enough to serve Jesus, and you're old enough to serve with your family of faith. I'm asking you to serve. Don't say, I'll do it next year. If you want to know the value of 1 year, ask a student who failed a grade. Don't say, I'll do it next month. If you want to know the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. Don't even put it off a week. To realize the value of 1 week, ask the editor of a weekly newspaper. If you need to remember the value of an hour, ask a groom who's caught in traffic on his wedding day. If you want to realize the value of 1 minute, talk to a person who just missed their plane. To realize the value of 1 second, ask a person who just avoided a major accident. To realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask a person who just won a silver medal in the Olympic Games. I know you've heard it, but let me repeat it. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Today's a gift from God. That's why it's called the present. Use what you have. Listen to me. You don't have tomorrow. Garth Brooks sang, if tomorrow never comes, it never does. You have today. This is it. It's all you have. You can plan and prepare all you want, but talk to the families I called, multiple families this week with loved ones that aren't sitting here this morning. You don't know. You have no idea what this afternoon holds, much less tomorrow. You don't have yesterday. You can't go back. Some of you have said and done things that you regret. If only I could. You can't even go back 2 seconds ago because that 86,400 keeps ticking. Quit living in the past. Paul said, forgetting the things which are behind me, I press on toward the prize for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Pick up the baton and run the race God has for you. You can't go back and you can't live forward. Live in the moment. Live right now. Make decisions right now that will better impact your tomorrow. I wrote this down right before I left my office this morning. It's like the Spirit of God just dumped this thought on my heart. Listen, God doesn't need your ability. He wants your availability. Now, that's a good word. I want you to listen to it again. God doesn't need your ability. He is more than capable of doing all that needs to be done, but he wants your availability. Just be real and be open and be available to serve other people. You are better for it. Other people are better for it. I promise you the church is better for it. This whole text we've been focused on week after week after week said that they were praising God and having favor with all the people. People know if you care. People know as a church if we care. I made a comment about a young lady that had come to us and said that she was not welcomed a few weeks ago. I'm really happy to tell you this, and I know that some of you are going to find this shocking. It turns out that was a scam artist that went church to church to church to church all over our area and was trying to get the churches to feel sorry for, and then she started begging for money. From one staff member, she asked for $4,000 and something, another one $7,000, another $500, another $7 something. Pretty crazy. But I found out that actually she was welcomed many times over from the parking lot all the way to the pew. She was trying to pull our leg. Now, here's what we have to do. We have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We have to pay attention and love people and help people at real points of need, but not be foolish and give away the farm, because that doesn't help anybody. And so as a church family, I want you to know there are so many opportunities. How do we do this? We serve with our Grace family by connecting with our community of faith. That's belief and behavior among ourselves. But also we go beyond that. We serve with the Grace family by practicing the one another principles. I gave you a few. I'm going to tell you some opportunities, and I'm going to put out some thank yous. We have a welcome team here. Do you know it consists of 235 different people? There are campus shepherds that keep us safe. There's a candy kiosk for children. How many of y'all know and love Miss Maddie and Miss Elaine out there? Children, young people. How many of y'all know and love Miss Maddie and Miss Elaine? I thank God for Miss Maddie and Miss Elaine because I see all the happy faces and the sticky fingers by the time they get over here to me. I love those ladies. Plus, I get some of their candy some of the time. So they're doing such an incredible service. We have coffee folks getting things ready to keep us awake when you come in and listen to me drone. We have attendance counters. We have EMS team. A guy came to me last Sunday morning and said, I just want to thank you and I want to thank the team. I had a little health scare here the other week and your EMS team was on it just like that. And they helped me and they called for assistance. EMS, do you realize that most weeks, something funny's going on. You realize that? With this many people, most weeks, something funny's going on. And I don't mean dangerous. I just mean health things and otherwise. The golf cart ministry, the greeters on Sundays and Wednesdays, the guest central kiosk, and this is not exhausted. Lawn and campus team, office reception, police officers. We thank God for you police officers. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for coming. Thank you for serving. If you haven't thanked one of our officers lately, you ought to stop them and thank them. They're keeping you safe here, and they're looking out for your good. Our section leaders, that's just our welcome team. We have Grace Kids leaders. Hey, students, how many of you guys work with some littler than you? Any of you? Look at the hands, guys. Look at the hands. Our students help with that. There are 165 of them that work in Grace Kids. Grace 56 ministry, Grace Student ministry, like these guys, Grace Collegiate ministry, Grace Go. We have 167 folks all over working just with our East Tennessee, not including our internationals. From Cross Ministries, that's Bible and study material distribution, the crew, building things, Hugs ministry. You're one of my favorites because I wrap up in your love every afternoon or evening, depending on when I'm in my little spot. your hugs ministry. I'm gonna benefit this afternoon in my Sunday nap because of you. And there's the senior food pantry, the food for kids, Emerald Youth, Kids Hope, whether it's our ministry or a partnership, our different prison ministries. A gentleman was telling me about what he's doing with that even today. Our pro-life ministries of Deeper Still and Hope Resource, not to mention Compassion Coalition and Volunteer, and that's just a few. Then our prayer and care ministry with over 130 people involved, our Grace Adults, Grace Biblical Counseling, Grace Group Adult Leaders, Pastors Prayer Partners, Baptism Teams, Altar Counselors, Grace Worship that I've already mentioned with Choir Band, Orchestra Praise Team, our media team like Scotty and this wonderful group of videographers and engineers and leaders, our personnel, trustees, nominating, finance and budget teams, all volunteers, people that give of their time to hold us accountable, to make sure we are rowing in the right direction, our GCA school board, our active deacons, and then we have many, many other inactive, but not even including our largest ministry called Grace Christian Academy, not including the staff of Grace Christian Academy, not including any of that leadership. Listen to me, right? This is incredible. The number of volunteers that all these folks have given me this information the last 2 weeks, the number of volunteers that are presently serving in Grace Baptist Church is 1,244. That's a lot of volunteers. And I want to say a tremendous thank you, because that's not 20%, folks. But what that means is this. If there are 1,244 volunteers, there are a few thousand folks that still have a place to serve. There are a few thousand of you, and here's my commitment to you. If today you will prayerfully consider going on the app or online, and you'll just hit the serve button, you see all those things. If you just go online, you can hit 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever categories that you think you may be interested in. It's not about your ability. It's about your availability. My promise to you is somebody from the Grace team will get back with you very, very soon. In fact, I'll take that a step further. If you have not heard back from them via email or call, just some quick correspondence, by this time next week, I want you to come over here and see me. And I want you to tell me what area you signed up for, because I'm going to have a Come to Jesus powwow in my office that week. I only say that because this is a wonderful staff that has wonderful volunteers, but they need more help. Every staff member right now, I can promise you, and again, I'm not even into GCA and the number of volunteers that go along with their staff, but the number of people we need is astronomical. It's good for you. It's good for your church. It's good for people that come. And so 1,244 volunteers is astounding. And thank you is not enough. It's not sufficient. But I give you my heartfelt thanks as one who tries to work and serve among you and who wants to see more people engaged. I promise you this. I've learned this in my life. You will get more out of your religious life. I hate to use that term as much as your faith walk. You will get much more out of that. You will get much more out of your Christian walk if you serve and give away some. Don't be like a bloated sponge who takes and takes and takes. Let God squeeze you a little bit. And the more God squeezes you, guess what? The more you can take in. And then God squeezes you in service, and God allows you to give it out, and then you can take in. Do what our kids are doing. Many, many of these students serve in different areas. Watch how they do that, and then come along with us. I promise you there's an area, and I may have not even mentioned it. You may say, I really want to do this. Good. God may be calling you to start it. God may be calling you to be the leader, to be the tip of the spear for whatever it is. But I'm asking you today to serve, to serve, to serve with your Grace family. Let's stand up, and let me pray for us, and then I'm going to ask you to do this. If you need to unite with this church, there's no better day than today. Come on. You may need to be saved. We got counselors ready to tell you how. You may need to resurrender. You may need to come and say, I either want to come by statement or I want to move my membership. I know I'm a Christian. I just want to be a part of Grace officially. You may want to come and pray for or about someone or something. Maybe some students. I don't know, guys. Maybe God showed you something last night in your groups. Maybe you need to pray about or for someone or with someone. Maybe you want to come. Whatever the case, some of you need to come and you need to say, Lord, today, tonight, as soon as I can, I'm going to do this. I'm going to find an area. Some of you are already doing two or three things. I'm not asking you to have to do more. I'm not asking you to sign up for another thing. But if you're not really connected anywhere, whether it's a grace group, whether it is a service opportunity, find somewhere to plug in. You will get the training you need. And if somebody talks to you and you say, oh, that's not the right area, that's okay, man. Baskin Robbins. We'll switch it around. You can try something else. But I want you to get the joy out of your church life, out of your faith life, by serving. When I say amen, I want you to just come and commit to the Lord. You don't have to tell anybody else. Just commit to the Lord, whatever it is God's laid on your heart in this hour. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the day. I was blown away when I heard there were 1,244 volunteers in this church already, not including our largest ministry of GCA. There is no way our staff, our pastors, I think 11 of us, there's no way 11 could do the work of over 1,200. It would be impossible. So I speak on behalf of my fellow pastors and our ministry directors and our entire team, our assistants, our staff, our different leaders. I speak on behalf of us all when I say thank you, God. Thank you for inspiring people to serve. This is not a church of the 80-20. It's not a church where 20% are doing or giving 80. It's a church with much, much better levels of participation. And I am so grateful. But I believe it can be even better. Somebody knows that you're speaking to their heart about this. May they turn it over to you today, not tomorrow. They'll never get this opportunity again. So today, with the remainder of those 86,400 seconds that they have left, may we make it count. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The